It's that late night wet wipe stuff, man.
Wet wipe.
Dads.
Late night.
Comedians.
Wet wipe.
You get me?
Three dads, and they're all quite funny. Only started this podcast to make some money. Spotify deals and comedy tours on the agenda. Let me introduce all members.
KJ,
yeah, he put this thing together. Might be the reason that it falls apart. He's from the hip, but he talks from the heart. Ride or die for the team. You know it's Kazee. Darren Griffiths, getting told off by the missus. Been a dad longer than the other two. An integral member of the crew. Where he's from, they like to say, oi, oi. Darren Griffiths, aka the Essex boy. The doctor, always thinking about a sponsor. Keeps the pod on track, loves prayer, that's a fact. Got a BBL just for the brothers that are black. It's Mike,
and this is Late Nights and Wet Wipes.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of them Late Nights and then Wet Wipes. I'm your co-host, I'm Michael Akadiri. And to my far left, who have we got?
Darren Griffiths back in the building. Back from
Hey, come on.
I'm back.
Fresh back.
Hey,
fresh
come on. Home. Fresh home from the stint in Scotland. Enjoy it?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I'm happy to be back. But we got towards like the last few days.
Yeah.
You just like... If the Pleasants called me and said, Darren, we've had to pull your gigs. But you know what? It's all right. You know? I am tired.
Yeah, that last week, yeah, it's pain. I feel bad because obviously audience members have paid tickets expecting a show that you've probably perfected by this point. But you're mentally, you're like, I don't want to do the show.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't even do it. But you're a professional. You've done all your shows, completed it.
I feel like our guest is waiting for us to introduce before he starts talking.
No, in fact, you know what? As I always say, check out the visuals on the YouTube because you'll know who we're referring to. This man has featured on two of our previous episodes. I believe offhead they're episode 9 and 10. I could be wrong, but it doesn't matter. This man, as I checked last time, this man is a comedian. He is a father. This man is a communications director. I'm not going to say too more because he probably never liked that I'm communicating that he's a director of communications. He probably don't...
No, we're all directors of communications. We direct our own communications.
This guy is a director. He gets paid to communicate on a senior level, executive. I'm not going to say who for because that is government information. It's the government. Who knows? Anyway, I'm not going to say too more. It's Kevin J.
Come on.
I probably said
back,
too much
man.
There.
Nah, it's all good, bro. Nah, I'm open with the day job.
Okay, because some people are like inconspicuous. Am I five of it?
No, you know what it is? I never used to be transparent with a day job, but then the day job started paying well.
Mm.
I didn't want people to think it was from stand-up.
You know what I mean?
like, man's on a bit of holidays.
You need to book him,
none of this is...
Nah, it's true. Because it's a weird thing, right? Because when you do stand-up and you've got a day job, I feel like, it's a thing of... Like, your day job is like, it's shameful. Until it's a day job that is like, people are like, oh, right, you do that.
Yeah.
And that also smash comp.
Also
go on stage and shut it down. But I don't actually
need this.
But I think times are changing, though, because I think it's your backstory, it's your origin story.
And 100%.
Now, to be able to, like, I was watching, I can't remember what it was, but Tom Davis was on there, and he was like, you know, talking about when he was a builder. And I'm like, love that. Like, that's his own. Do you understand what I mean? It gives, and then the everyman can look at him and be like, oh, wow, that's where... Steve-O the madman's like, oh, when I was in the van driving, you're like, oh, you was a van driver. Because it's very easy to become like detached from that. And this is who they are now.
Oh, 100%.
And even with like rappers, you know, our cats, I was listening to Storm's Fire in the Booth Cypher. So 2014.
Yeah.
And one of his bars, I can't remember what he says exactly, but he basically alludes to he's got his day job. Like he's got to go to the office.
But he's going to
come here and just like shell down the thing. And then... When you hear him in another interview and the timeline matches up, he's like, I quit my day job in like 2015. I was like, right, so you was on Fire in the Booth, BBC One Extra with Akala.
Yeah, you know heavy mean? Hitters.
Like, gets all these guys there, but he's like, but I still got my day job. I still had my day job at the time. And it's just like, but people just think one YouTube clip and it's like, oh, bro, you made it.
That's true. It's true. Because you know, I can't conceptually imagine him doing any form of employment.
He was like a civil engineer I stand corrected, but it was like something very academic.
He was an
apprentice, like an oil rig or something mad like that, where he was like, doing a proper job.
Yeah.
Respect that he was shelling with that, and then he come and showed the stage as well, innit? Yeah. But you got to be multi talented in this thing as well, anyway.
Yeah.
So you know,
I think stand up allows us to though have a day job for longer than maybe if we were like just I just want to be an actor.
Yeah.
It's harder to have a day job because auditions, and also like if you book a job, then it's like now you might need to go away and film for 3 days.
100%.
With stand up, it's like you can literally be like.
It's evenings, isn't it? It's so evenings, it's your free time.
Or even on the week, I remember I had a gig in Toronto. Got booked for a gig in Toronto last minute, and I had no more annual leave left.
Ooh.
So I was like, all right, cool, let's pattern it. Fly me out Friday night. I will land first thing Saturday morning. I'll perform Saturday night. I'll perform Sunday night. I'll open on the Sunday night show. Get me the last flight out of Toronto Sunday night, overnight, back to Heathrow. Landed at Heathrow at 7.
Forced myself to sleep.
Had my suit in the car and then drove to work.
And you went, you got work on time.
Went to work on time, sat down, everyone's like, so how was your weekend? What did you do?
He's like, wow.
That's the best
one. He's like, just go to the park
for my kids. Our small talk is not the same. Okay.
Yeah.
I watched some ice hockey. Where? Lee Valley? Yeah. But it allowed you can do that.
Yeah. So the time difference didn't mess you up because I thought Toronto was what, 6 hours behind or what?
Yeah, it did, but.
No, not in terms of jet lag, in terms of like getting back in time. Because obviously you would have had to fly.
Yeah, but I just slept on the plane and then just was tired. Like
that's levels, though.
I think sometimes it's a mindset
super,
thing.
That's a
though,
Superman thing.
We'll sit there and watch, we'll scroll YouTube until 4 a.m. and get up and go work.
Oh, 100%.
But because you're now traveling to another country, your mind will be like, oh, that's a lot to do.
It's true.
Yeah, I don't.
Even for like having the family and stuff, innit? Like when you got a gig. Like now you just like do what I know I have to get home and be there for when the kid wakes up because Mrs. was up all night. So when everyone else is like, oh yeah, I'm staying for a drink. It's like, you know, I gotta go.
100%.
Or even if you stay up there, it's like, I'm only staying up there so I don't crash driving home. Yeah. But I'm waking up for like 6 a.m, showering and just getting straight in the car. I'm getting home.
Yeah.
I don't know, even if it's in the UK, I'll prefer not to be in a hotel.
Oh, you prefer the late night drives?
I will always pattern the hotel with a promoter.
Yeah,
and then at the last minute and be like, oh, how much was it? Don't pay for it. Give me the fee. Give me it on top of my... Like, oh, it's 50 people in a hotel. Like, cool. Give me that as well now because I don't need it. But I knew you had it in the budget. So that's what I always do. I'll see if they got it in the budget.
Okay.
Because I'd rather be
home. What's the furthest you'll drive in one time? Like, what's like out in terms of hours? Like in one, like let's say, what? Like would you go? Would you drive to Sheffield and back
And back, please.
The gigs in Sheffield on a Sunday.
The furthest I've done is, the furthest I've travelled in one gig and back, and it was a double, was Reading.
Mm.
Left Reading and then drove to Prestatyn, which is North Wales. To do
north, like near Bangor and all them.
So that was like 4 hours to do a week soul weekender, but the comedy show didn't finish until 1:30 or something in the morning, so I was able to get there, performed, left, and I was back on the road and then drove home.
How long was Bangor to home?
It's like 5.5 hours.
Military, they could use you in Ukraine, man. That is,
but this is
your militant.
When you've got a day job, annual leave is currency, you know.
I'm not taking
a day off because I'm tired.
Bro.
I'm not taking a day off because I'm tired. I'll just be tired at work and just do the graft. Like, I'm not gonna, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. What did you
do with your 30 days annual leave? Well, I used like 17. Yeah. I used 17 of them because I was tired. Pussy off.
You didn't go nowhere, just in bed chilling.
And also, I'm going to be at home and have to do stuff for the family. Nah.
Yeah, it's true, because you're not going to be able to sleep at home.
Yeah, then I'm going I'm still going to be tired anyway. So
longest I do is 4 hours. Manchester, but that's the furthest I do in one.
You'll do that, like, you got up and...
I did that for when I was opening for... what's his name? James Austin Johnson, he was on like SNL and stuff. So yeah, he was doing something at Frog and Bucket. So I was alright.
Oh, sick! No, you guys are
4 hours, but that's like
that you asked for a hotel when you're
and similar and similar thing.
Bro, if I could get the Travelodge in Vauxhall, if I can get the Travelodge in Vauxhall, hey man, I get a Victoria Line in the morning.
Bob has eaten it to his face.
That is like, it's probably, I drove back, I did a run in the Northwest a couple of weeks ago, it's just because there were train strikes, so I had a gig in Nottingham on a Friday, then drove from Nottingham to Manchester that same night, stayed in a hotel there in Manchester, then had a gig Manchester, early evening, normal evening in Warrington, it's like half an hour, and then closed in Liverpool. And I stayed in Liverpool, and I drove down the Sunday morning from Liverpool to back home to London.
That's fair enough, though. Yeah, that's not like, yeah, yeah. My main reason for not wanting to stay in North Wales was just them prefab, you know, like Pontins.
Yeah.
Chalets that ain't been updated since.
Oh, it was one of them venues. Okay.
So that's all that. Why I'm not gonna sleep here. I'd rather drive, and if I get tired, I'll sleep on the way home.
If you're doing that,
so you're doing three gigs in three towns, like. Yeah. And you gigged the night before as well. That makes sense. But if it's one.
Because it was on the way, but it was 3.5 hours. Because I used to always think Manchester, Liverpool from London is like, I used to just have like 5 hours in my head, 5-6 hours. Like, it's 3.5 with no traffic. It's not terrible.
No, it's not. No. Yeah, it's you hit not traffic, terrible. Though, then yeah, it goes up to 5. I used to think that as well, though. It was closer to 5. Yeah. How did you get to Edinburgh? Did you fly or?
Then had carnage flying back.
But that became national news, though, yeah. your carnage. So I thought EasyJet just messed you up or whatever. But.
Yeah, at first it was, there was a storm in Europe that caused a delay to flights. And then I think the day after, they had the whole air traffic system meltdown.
Oh, really?
So while everyone else was panicking, so when my flight got, it was delayed, it was maybe 9:10, then got delayed to 9:30. And I only found out as I was going through, you know, the first security barrier with your boarding pass, and it said error. I was like, what? And then read to me, it said error, wrong day. I was like, what do you mean wrong day? Then I went to the help desk, goes, yeah, your thing's been delayed till 9:30. So I was like, oh, that's technically tomorrow. So that's why it's saying wrong day for the boarding pass. So let me through. And I was sat there just thinking, right, how do I kill time? And then delay from 9:30 to 10:01. And then at about 11 o'clock, they announced flights cancelled.
Jeez.
And while everyone else was like, what? I was like, let me just go onto the app, rebook flight for tomorrow morning.
And then
I was like, right, hotel. And then I was thinking, right, I need a hotel near, because if flights getting cancelled, these
hotels are going to just spike up.
So I was like, right, let's get a hotel, read the T's and C's for EasyJet, where they're going to reimburse you. It's like, nothing more than 3-star. I was like, okay, there's a Hampton by Hilton, just 5 minutes from the airport. All right, let me book that in. And then I did all that before I even got my luggage. And in that time, I was hearing other people. I hear people just arguing with the...
That's like, a why slick operation, yeah.
Why they cancelled it? And one woman, this made me laugh, this is just like peak. This is like peak Karen. Peak white.
It's a final form Karen.
So this is baggage collection.
Yeah.
And she goes, I'm going to go through those doors and try to find out what happened. And the guy said, like, don't go through those doors because you will not be allowed back in. Wait for your bag. She's like, I bet I will be allowed back in. And he's like, no, seriously, you won't. In my head's like, darling, this is an airport.
They don't care about your request for the manager. This is military.
Check-in shut now. There's no way for you to come back round and get in. He's like, do not go through those doors. You won't come in. She's like, we'll see. And then she just went through the doors. So I was like, part of me wants to stay to see.
To see the outcome.
Turns out.
You can't let yourself get that angry in any situation where logic just goes out the window.
No, I just thought, I just calmed down. Luckily, because I listened to someone else's podcast a few weeks before, and they said exact same thing happened to them. They go, they just booked their flight, booked the hotel. Right, that's what I'm going to do. I'll be pissed off once I've got everything booked. And I was like, fine.
Was there a fee for changing your flight? No. So like, it's all complimentary.
All complimentary. And then I'm just waiting for my money.
At the end of your fringe run as well. You know, you want to get home.
I just want to get home. I had to get home because Mrs. was going to go carnival.
So what time did you get home the following day?
I got home like 10.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, 10 a.m. Right. But yeah, but that's not all she cared about, but it was all she cared about. She's like, so what time are you getting in?
Yeah,
my train is at 20 to midday. And I'm just you've been away for a month. This is the one day I'm getting to myself, so you need to be back on time.
She was like, you're not messing this up.
You're not messing my day.
That's mad. I was up, I went up and saw Darren's show, and I was like, should we go through? I think it was like maybe halfway through the first week, or wasn't even halfway through the run. Mm. And I was like, I saw the show, and then I was like, do you want to go for a beer? He's like, oh, I'm not drinking until halfway through the run.
Oh, you're militant like that.
Yeah. And then I left 2 days later and I saw his story. Man was
ill discipline crept in.
I was like, right, it's either going really well or really bad.
What one was it?
No, it was going great.
Got halfway back.
Yeah.
He had a great run, man. It was a great show.
It was fun. Oh, thank you.
I haven't seen it. You bring it to London. Let the people know. You bringing it. You taking it anywhere?
Yeah.
Any exclusives?
Nothing's actually in. No ink's dried anywhere enough. So it's just the plan's probably just to take it around the different fringes. Stay around different fringes and pair it up with another work in progress show as well.
Oh, okay. Are you already working on the next one?
Yeah, just even if it's not even a show, just to mess around on stage for like if it's 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And then know that I've got a proper show as well to deliver. But just break away from that and just, yeah.
But big, you need to do a big show in London though, or Essex, or wherever you want to call home now.
We do the filming and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's proper. Thanks,
no. I ain't even seen it.
Yeah.
I ain't even seen it. So it's more from a selfish perspective. That's what I'm telling you to do this.
I don't want
to
sound like a reviewer, but it's laugh out loud funny.
Oh my goodness. Consistent. Are there through lines in it as well?
It's like, yeah.
Is it thought provoking? Yeah. Does it change your perspective on like the world and stuff like that?
Yeah. It was.
Jeez. Yeah. Man-like.
No, really good. Really, really good. Thoroughly enjoyed it, mate.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
What other shows did you see up there? We'll actually start the podcast soon, people. But what
people who don't like comedy is here. But like, why are they talking about parrot and stuff?
That I want to talk about, that I saw, that I'm happy to
talk
about.
No, just stuff, there's the stuff, or people that you saw, or stuff that you're like, oh, I've not seen this person before,
the thing that always blows my mind about the Fringe, is it's so expensive to be there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
and
no doubt.
People go up there with such half-hearted bodies of work. That I'm like, big man. Do you know how much, how expensive it is?
Yeah,
to be
yeah, here? Yeah, yeah.
And you, and I don't care. I know that you ain't tried hard enough on this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's some people that it's A star for effort and cool, but there are some people that are just.
Yeah, because some shows aren't going to just hit the mark, isn't it? That's fine.
Great. But then there's some people that are just.
Do you think there's certain people, because they go every year, it's just like this year maybe was a busy year and so they couldn't prepare enough. They just,
I'm not sure,
in their mind,
a couple of shows and I was like, you knew you were coming here.
Yeah,
you
no
know when Fringe applications have to go in.
Because the debut is also a different one in the sense of you might not have known how ready your show should have been. And then once you get up and see other people's shows,
Yeah,
and if you ain't got work in progress in your show title, don't tell me after I've paid £11.50 for a ticket, I'm still working on this bit.
Oh! Is that what people do in the shows? You can't let the audience know stuff like that, man. You got to keep it stoom. Keep it stoom and then debrief to your friends about how unprepared
and
you are.
Bring the same show next year, just change the
name. Yeah. Or put it on the audience and be like, last night, loved that bit. You lot.
People that do that kill me. I can't do
but
that.
But the thing that blew my mind is I know how many thousands it costs to be here.
Yeah. Because anyway, obviously you've been on the other side.
Aaron on the side of positivity. Emmanuel Sanubi's show was...
Friend of the pod, I saw that one. No, just by chance, because it was in Enfield. That doesn't make you feel bad.
Yeah. But really, really, really good, man. I guess I hadn't seen him live, so I knew of his work, but I've never seen him live. So I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
I think as a comic, you get so kind of like blinded by people's bits and their stage persona or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Whereas I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, I knew
he was making a lot of noise, and people were like, "No, he's
the real deal. He's the real deal." Yeah, I seen
one of these Lavity Apollo bits on reels, but then I watched an hour.
Yeah, man, he's got it. What you know when people say he's got it? You're like, what is it? And
you see him, he's like, oh yeah, that's it.
Yeah, then you see someone, you're like, okay, I know what you mean. They've got it. Yeah.
And I was there with a mate who's like just a lover of comedy, but not in the industry in any way, and we'd seen a few shows.
Yeah,
and then. He was like, we saw Emmanuel's show, and he was like, nah, that's a proper show.
When
we came out. And I also saw Daniel Muggleton, I think he is Australian.
Yeah, Australian guy, moustache.
Yeah. Again, didn't know what to expect. Really good show, man.
He's a good comic. He pushes the boundaries. I like him.
Yeah, really pushes. That's a great way of putting it.
He pushes the boundaries.
Those are
like
the two that I'd probably shout about.
And incidentally, those are two, I would say sort of comics. They're in the clubs week in, week out.
Yeah.
Working on their stuff. Like a lot of people who take, not a lot, I don't know the percentages, but people that take shows up may not be the comics that are in the clubs week in, week out. They may do comedy, but not, they're not in the gym. I don't know. I see it like gym. I see comedy clubs as gyms. you're in the gym working out. And
you can see it when people are razor sharp. Even I did my night, this will be the last bit we talk about in stand-up.
Yeah.
I did my night last night, and there was a couple comics, and you could just see, like, oh, okay, you do shows.
Yeah.
You're in the clubs.
Yeah.
It's razor sharp. It's
all
tight.
Yeah. It's that beat.
The ad libs are there. Crowd work. What was that? Boom. I've got a bit that can go with your.
Yeah.
I can see. Yeah, you're in the gym. And then other people, you're like, oh, okay, I can tell that you perform, you do shows.
Yeah. But you just turn up and do shows, or are you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You can push the button. Sometimes the button doesn't need to be pushed if you're in the zone. But we got, thank you for this question, listener.
Yep.
Thank you, people, for sending in these questions. We really do appreciate it. This one is about taking a breather, man. Because, you know, parenting is full-time. You can't take time off. It's full-time. Even if you want to take a breather, your kid doesn't give a damn when you want to take a breather. And this lady, she was saying she was in the park with her husband. The kid was playing with another kid. Another kid was playing there. And then the parent of the other kid started playing with both kids. So the parent said, let me kick back. Billy's over there. Billy's playing with these strangers, but it's all good. He's chilling. Next thing you know, the person who's playing with Billy, then the other parent playing with Billy, then comes and says about the other parents, what would be helpful if they helped out. And then now the mum heard it. She didn't tell the dad, but the mum was like, look, I don't really like that attitude. We need to dust out. We're going. So I don't know if either of you two been in a scenario like that where, you know, another one of the parents that's in the playground has said something a bit untoward, whether to you or your child, that had made you want to, like, skedaddle or dust out.
I think that's always a challenging one, though, when kids are playing and then a parent gets in, or not gets involved, but the parent might be like, spinning the roundabout, whatever it might be, because as a parent, you're going, I don't want to look like I'm not present or engaged.
Yeah.
Is it now weird if I come over?
What are you gonna add today? If you're spinning the wheel,
just gonna push us in that
way. But at the same
time,
the kids,
we want to get off. No.
Yeah.
I need to participate.
At the same time, the shoe on the other foot. When I'm just trying to enjoy some time in the park with my son.
Yeah.
And then you know kids start coming, swarming over, just looking for some interaction and some engagement. And I'm like, no, this is
our time.
I'm having quality time with my son. Try and get involved as well. So it is a tricky one. The only time I've had a thing where I didn't walk out of the park, I told the guy about himself, was we were in Victoria Park in Hackney.
Ooh.
And my son was like underneath a slide and he was banging on the slide. And there was a girl on the slide above, and she was like going down. And every time she'd come down, he'd like bang, 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 bang on it, but like just innocently playing.
Yeah, no doubt.
And she then like went crying to her dad, but the dad didn't know my son was. So he'd come over and he was just like, said something to my son. So then I came over, I was like, is everything okay? And then he was like, this little boy is being really aggressive to my daughter. Now, for the listeners and people that might not be aware, my son's mixed race.
Mm.
So he just saw me as a white man and didn't assume.
Yeah, he was like, let's sort this kid out.
Yeah,
let's sort this little boy out.
And he was a white man and I had a white daughter. So he obviously thought that, like, you know, Hackney had really been gentrified and we could just talk like that and weren't going to get it put on you. So I was like, when you say aggressive, what do you mean by aggressive? I said, because I've been observing the little boy.
So you did identify that?
Yeah.
No, I went, I've been observing the little boy and he's been banging on the slide when your daughter's been going down it. I really think that's aggressive. And he's like, well, I think it is because he's intimidating. I said,
the buzzwords.
I said, he's whistling. I was like, my son was 6, you know. I don't know what walk of life you're from, but I've never been intimidated by a 6-year-old. Yeah. And then I can't remember what he said. And then I was like, but if you need me to like contextualize what aggression is.
Mm.
Let's go around the corner.
Oh!
And then he was like, "No, I'm not saying that." And I was like, "This is probably now a good point for me to let you know that is my son."
Yeah.
And he ain't aggressive, but I fucking can be.
Hey!
The guy was like, and then the same thing. They use all the buzzwords. And
yeah.
And the buzzwords don't work.
Yeah.
And then victimize them. No, I'm not saying why are you kind of making. something it's something it's not. I'm like,
100%. No, just filling all the gaps. She's like, I'm not.
I was just gonna contextualize what aggression is for you.
Yeah.
Like, you're misguided in what you think aggression and intimidation.
We can show you aggression.
And I was like, you are now intimidated. This is intimidation. I was like, your little daughter crying because she weren't getting her own way is not intimidation. I said, but what you are doing is enabling her to think that the world revolves around her.
Yeah. Jeez, hey!
And then he left. He left. He walked.
Hey,
out.
Poetry by Kevin J, man.
It's a difficult thing, right? Because everyone agree with you there, right? And like, because that just seems like a really simple path to follow, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have you ever had it like where I don't explain it? So that so your kid is actually in the wrong.
Never.
But.
Not my son.
Your kid is actually in the wrong, but then. Because of the adult's attitude, you're like, I've got to back my kid.
I've never had that.
I was just trying to think like how I deal with that. Because even like the other day, my daughter was in the wrong and every adult was being following script. Every child was following script. So we had friends around. Daughter didn't want to share.
A toy or something like that.
Yeah, the other little girl had the toy and my daughter kicks up. She's two. She hasn't developed how to share consistently. You have to proper gear up to share. So she's there having a meltdown. The other little girl feels so bad. She's like ready to put the toy down and give it back to someone because she committed such a scene. It was just like, no, don't give the toy back. You keep the toy. She needs to learn to share. So you keep her the toy. And she, but in my mind, I was thinking, wait, what? But how would I react?
so one of the parents was like, you need to learn how to share if it went to your daughter.
Yeah, if one of the other parents jumped in and said that, I'd be like, now you need to give the toy back. Exactly. You need to give me that drink back, and you need to. I don't know how I'd react to that thing because the other parents are like, oh, that maybe you should give the toy back. It's like no. That like, thank you. That's very nice of you to say that, but no, she used to learn. But yeah, I don't know how I'd react if the parents like put it on me. Just like, wow, she really doesn't know how to share.
Yeah,
but then that's where you go into your defensive mode, isn't it? Your cocoon, your protective sort of mode to protect your child, regardless of you know.
Yeah, she is a rude child, but she's my rude child.
Yeah, that's it, man. I brought her up to be
rude,
man.
How dare you talk about my rude child like that? Yeah, no, that, I feel like there's a unity among parents that we understand, right? And I think you can sometimes see when a kid's giving their parents a hard time, and the easy thing to do is to just go, no, it's okay, don't worry. You have to, because you, as a parent, you understand, actually, for the other parent in this situation, it's probably easier to just pacify that child. It's not the ideal thing to do in the bigger scheme of things. But that would be tricky if they pointed out your child's flaws in that moment.
You're right, but it's messenger and the message, isn't it? Like it could be the right message. You're not the messenger. That's my message to give to child. That, and I think that's where it is, isn't it?
That's true, actually. Yeah, come. I think that is what I would do. If I saw a child do it, I would always go to the parent and be like, listen, your child is, you know, like, oh, they're having, you know. But then I also believe in letting children just deal with things. Maybe not so much now my son's getting older, but definitely around the 2 to 4 years old. Yeah. I was just like, you got to sometimes let them have a little tug of war and have a little...
Discover it themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Because if you just solve everything for them, then, you know what I mean? If you just continuously put the pieces in the puzzle, then you're not giving them a puzzle. You're giving them a picture.
Because it's strange. Because I almost like the fact that we have to work back from her being selfish to her being someone who needs to share.
Yeah.
Rather than being the kid who has a toy and someone takes it, she's just like, oh, okay.
Oh, like she doesn't want to fight for it.
Yeah, then
you want some fight.
Like, oh, no, like, don't just let people just take the toy. that's such a hardest skill.
Sell. Yeah.
Or like a personality thing to put into a child. Like if they're naturally just, okay, well, I'll just let things happen to me. It's like, no.
Because you want your child to be a pushover. Like, exactly. I'd rather them get into scraps.
And then I have to tell you, you can't kick off all the time.
Yeah.
But it's almost like, I don't know how many year cycle it is, but it's almost like, I don't know, a 7 year cycle where you're having to teach them new things or make them unlearn. So you're teaching them to share and to be kind and to be respectful of other people. And then they'll get to like 7 or 8 and maybe start doing sports. And then they might be getting pushed over and then you're like, no, all right, now, remember when you were 2?
You had to run it back.
I told you to be kind to other people.
Don't be so kind. Because now, like, and my son really struggled with playing with football. He's like, but you taught me to share. Why am I going to go and take the ball off someone?
Oh, for real? As in like an opposition player?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He really struggled with the premise of like, it's not a game if I take it from them because then they can't enjoy themselves.
They're scoring and celebrating. Your son's like,
I'm
glad they're
I pray a goal, I'll let them score because they need the confidence.
They need the confidence.
I could see his little brain working that out, like, because he hadn't been exposed to like competition. He doesn't have siblings, so he has no competitiveness in that way that he'd been exposed to. So at like 5 years old, going to little football team, kind of, you know, and it was like,
that's interesting. Yeah. So how do you know? Is he just two-footing people now? Is he like that? he's still not really
into the competitive side of like, he's excelling more in like gymnastics and so
like in individual sports.
Yeah, individual sports.
So it's just more about skill and
very much like he wants to do things himself. So he's like, I want to learn how to do a front flip. It's not about anyone, you know. So we took him gymnastics camp over the summer. And then he was like, I love it. Can you ask them if they do one-to-one sessions? And I was like, we can ask them. I was like, but you have to appreciate that you're going to feel it a lot more, because at the moment you're in a queue of 10 people to do the run and the flip. When it's a one-to-one, that's just you.
Yeah. You ain't got nine other people to rest between.
He said to me,
it?
But therefore, surely I'll perfect it sooner.
Oh.
Because I'll get to do it more times. And I was like, damn it, man. That's costing me a lot of money.
One to one. I don't know what gymnasts cost, but one to one sounds like anything that's one to one.
One to one, right? Yeah, that's why I tried to twang him. That was my whole reason. I was like, no. Do the group. Because, our one to one is the same as a week in a camp.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's very, that's his thing. I think a lot of only children are like it, right? They're very kind of like in their.
No, that's true. Because when I think about myself playing computer games, I'm just like, as soon as the online mode came, all my friends like, oh man, this is my ID. Like, we all log in at the same time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just want to play career mode on FIFA. I don't want to play. Is it
because you don't like the social aspect? Because obviously the whole idea is like, you're social, you're chatting rubbish. Even though you're individual in your room yourself.
Yeah, I didn't mind going around my friends' houses and we sit together and play. But when I'm in my house, I was like, right, I'll be at school going, I'm this far in the season. And when I go home, I'm going to finish the season tonight.
Yeah, okay. You want to do the Champions League final with your team or whatever.
It's me against myself. I just want to play. And yeah, I used to see the ID come up and my friends, I'd see the message. I could see you online. Why are you ignoring my message? Play me. I'd be like, nah.
So they're like, your Darryl just being bare antisocial for no reason.
And then like, and they'll come, like next day we'll see each other. Oh, so sick. Us two play these two. You missed out. I was like, guess I did.
I'd ruined it. Uneven numbers.
I guess I missed that.
So what are we going to tell this lady that wrote in?
So basically talking smack about her husband, but also in a way talking smack about their parenting style.
Yeah. Basically just critiquing it.
So they're saying that they should have got involved with
because I've read it. So the guy, so the couple there, they just kind of take turns on and off. I'll play on my phone, you play with the kids, then you sit down, have a coffee, I'll play with the kids. But then there's one of them's playing with the kids drifted off, start playing with the other set of kids, and then that kid's parents is doing all the work. So it's like, right, so then that parent goes like, oh yeah, no, you're doing a lot of work. And then he goes, yeah, it would be better if someone else helped out, looking at the husband on the phone. So she's like,
Bit awkward.
Yeah. So like, I would tell the husband that what was said once you left the park.
Yeah, you do that in the drive home.
No for any confrontation and stuff. But I don't think there's anything wrong with their parenting though.
Look, when I go to parties now, and there's people I know, not just random at a party in the house, there's food and stuff. Son. Oh, is that your son? There you go. I'm going to get some food.
Yeah.
Where's your son? He's somewhere.
He's somewhere in the house.
I don't know. He's with someone. Someone's Googling. Oh my goodness, he's so cute. Do that. I hand over. When I went to your house, I never know. There's random people, like probably your sister or someone. Here you go. Boom. Take him.
Everyone's going, I haven't seen your son yet. Like, he's in the living room somewhere. He's with someone.
What about you? Function? Take him. If it's people I know, and it's a party of people that they know, and it's close, take him. I don't know who's entertaining him.
Yeah.
So when I see this guy, no, you're not doing work. Good. Relax.
Isn't it?
Go get some rice. Go get some rice, chill. It's cool. It's like, if someone's doing, you're doing it for everyone, then maybe next time you're in a park, mate, someone else will entertain your child for you and you can sit down.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what I
relax.
Said.
Yeah. But also, that child wouldn't have had anyone to play with if that person's son or daughter didn't play with them. So,
100%.
So now you feel like you're doing all the work, but actually, my child is entertaining your child. Because
exactly.
Now they're playing together. Yeah. So I think it's quite... Yeah, I don't know. I've been on the other end of it. Like I said, when I'm just trying to play with my son, and then
other people come.
Yeah,
but I think this is the problem sometimes because everyone's looking about what they're doing or what the other person isn't doing. This is a complete. I'm gonna go off track here, but it's relevant to child because I saw this video on TikTok and there was this man who's complaining about in the UK. He's complaining about child maintenance. And he's got two children, two different women. They're in new relationships. And he was basically saying how he lives alone and how he has to pay them child maintenance, which is based on a percentage of his salary. But irrespective of what he earns, they're in new relationships with new partners who all contribute to the household income. So why does he have to pay the amount he has to pay when she's got support in the house and he doesn't have the support in the house. And then...
It sounds like he needs a sugar daddy.
He needs to find a new man.
He needs to find... Because he was also like, I had them for a week during the summer holidays and I was taking them out. It was so expensive. So I've asked one of them he's paying through the courts. The other one, it's like an agreement they have. And he's delayed it by a week and she's kicking off. And he's like, well, I had them for a whole week and how expensive it was. And it's like, you basically had an insight into what they do all the time.
Yeah.
And instead of going
for a week, it's mad expensive. I don't want to pay anymore.
Yeah, he basically like, I'm delaying the payment. And instead of having them for a week and being, you know what? What they being grateful and appreciative of what they do, he's gone the other way and said, woe is me.
Yeah.
And it's like, mad.
You've had a sneak peek into how expensive children are. For a, you know what I mean? Like, if the shoe was on the other foot and someone said to the mother of that child, listen, you're going to still have your children, but you're only going to have the financial commitment of 1 week a year. She would rip your arm off.
Fendi.
Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead, it should be like, I don't know. And also, the child maintenance thing, from my understanding, is it's divided depending on how much the child's with you, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like days per week and stuff like that.
If the child's not with you for a lot of the week, then you have to pay a bit more.
Mm. Then, of course, yeah. I think he said weekends. Obviously, he didn't go into that, but he said weekends. So, presuming during the week, it's with mom.
I still hear it. Like, it is a huge financial thing, like, in terms of they're not living with you and you understand what I mean? You're having to pay out all this money and stuff, but you don't have to care for them, so you can be at work and you can be grafting and making that money.
100%. And I think that is not, because it's logistics, it's all like who's looking after the child. You don't have to worry about the physical, who's physically
try
with
having
the child.
The child with the expense and trying to make money.
That's right. Yeah, live as we all live with our kids.
Yeah,
it's not any cheaper.
But how does that link to the question? You said it would make sense.
No. I'm not saying I kind of got veering off because I was talking about obviously in this scenario, the other parent was like, "Look what I'm doing," or "Look what you're not doing."
It's very performative. That's the other thing I was actually thinking on the other parent's side. Like, it'd be nice if someone else could help. It's like, do you want us to just say thank you? Like, do you want me to just be like, "Oh, cheers, man!" Like, they're playing well together. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think sometimes it is.
Do you understand what I mean? So you're now going to try and belittle someone else or try and out on there when actually you just want a little bit of like kudos for the fact that you're spinning the roundabout.
Yeah, so I wonder what would happen if you go, "Oh, mate, do you want to sit down and have a coffee? I'll spin the roundabout now." Or would he be like, no, I just want you to be spinning the roundabout with me. It's just
you're playing with your children because you want to. I'm sitting down on my phone because I don't want to.
Read the room.
If anything, you wish you had my balls to sit here.
Yeah,
to
be confident and like. But I think it probably is like sometimes people want acknowledgement for stuff. It's like if I open a door for someone and they don't say thank you, sometimes I'm like,
oh yeah, I am that guy.
I'm like doing my face somehow, like really.
But I'm very British with it as well.
Oh, you don't say a word. You just keep your face is saying everything.
Eyebrows, eye contact with someone else. You just like, they just walk through the door.
They even say thank you. Like, are you?
Yeah, I don't have the balls. Like, bruv, Say fakes, isn't it?
Do you know what's tough about that? It's because you have to be prepared for to go violence. All the way.
I've got to prepare for the violence that might come.
And for them to say, I didn't ask you to.
What am I going to do then?
Yeah,
what
am I going to do? Like,
and then, then
you didn't ask you to. Like, you held it for me. Well, I didn't.
No. I did do some passive shit the other day, right? So, you know when you're on the platform?
Yeah.
Where the doors are coming? Doors come. I'm clearly stood. So, say that's the train. I'm stood here. Because, you know, so I can turn to side, let people off. Why is my man new to the platform coming to stand here?
Ooh.
So I was like, you're in front of me. Like, I don't know why you stood there. Like, you're really trying to get on this train before me. Like, I'm stood where the door is. So as people come off, he's back going, I accidentally just hooked his foot as he walked up to the train.
Oh, what? So he physically couldn't move forward?
No, I just hooked his foot, so he did a little stumble into the train.
So you look back?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, sorry, mate.
Sorry. Shouldn't have been behind the yellow line.
Yeah, sorry. I was too close to you, sorry.
Yeah, like, I'm outrageous on public transport. Yeah, I will.
Were you ready if it...
No, because I was like, mate, it's an accident, chill out.
Oh.
I would have gone fully like... I would have gaslit.
Made him think like, oh, he's crazy, but...
Mate, it's public transport. Everyone's close together. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And people would have gone, oh, calm down, mate.
Yeah, calm down.
I probably would have said to him, like, mate, we're not standing here for fun.
Yeah, so that happened in my head. Mm. I don't want the conversation. I've just got to just physically...
Actually, it would depend how big he was. If he was wedge, then I'd be like, it's cool. Guys, mind out his way, man.
Like, he got somewhere to be. He's got somewhere to be.
Like, if he's big, I don't feel with the trip to him.
So you made a judgment call. Said, okay, if it comes to it, I could take him.
Yeah.
Or you don't mind scrapping this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to. I don't care. Anyone that says that they don't do that is a liar. Anyone that says that before they put it on someone, they're not just giving them a little...
Yeah.
Let me download this information.
Yeah,
it's not. If you look like Anthony Joshua now, you would have just, you know, let him...
I
have
too much of a space, though. That's my fault.
I should have closed the space. I should have been in front of the yellow line.
That was my fault.
People move mad on public transport though. When you watch them, they don't have no regard for like you're queuing for the escalator. The way they will just come up the inside and cut in. I'm like,
I understand.
But the thing that I love is that other commuters don't really like on the road. People will get aggy about that kind of stuff. But
road rage is real.
On public transport, like commuters are just. Like,
I think because people are so with road rage, your car kind of protects you. So you can shout. You got the safety of the car to shout shit.
Yeah.
Hey, you wind on the window. What the fuck?
Because
the anticipation is everyone's just going to drive off. That's the assumption. When there's public transport, they ain't nowhere to go.
If you see a car door open, it's like, oh shit, this has gone further than anyone expected.
Yeah, 100%.
And you're just looking at the lights like, please change.
And it's just like, where, because I think if you stop, when you're in a car, you stop. To give verbal, whether they're on foot or whether they're in a car, in my mind, you have to be ready to start swinging. Like, you have to be ready for all the next steps. Yeah, if you're not ready for the next steps, then just take the effing wank and keep it moving.
Yeah.
And in a car, there's so many layers of bravado that you go through in it. Like, you stop the window, the seatbelt. If the seatbelt comes off now, is the person really thinking he's going to... Yeah. If the door opens, then there's another layer of... It's and then they get out. I've seen it get to the point of people getting out and it still not get to a fight.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
if
you're going
to... If you're going to step out of the vehicle, then you...
Yeah. Did you not see that video of the guy in the van, like, getting punched up through the window and then he finally gets out because the guy is like... I think he bangs his van or something and then he grabs him and the guy puts one on him through the window, like one or two, and then the guy finally gets out. Then they kind of swing a bit, someone stops it, and then he gets back in his van and then the guy's like going for him again. Yeah. I don't do road rage, man.
If anyone tried to punch me through the window of a car, I am holding onto the hand, widening up that window, and we're driving for
a car. Oh, okay.
This guy's a murderer. This guy is
you're going to be on the A10 doing 60.
We're driving for just a little bit.
His ankles are scraping the road.
Calm down. Just calm down.
You're taking him the whole way home, isn't it? All the way up the M1, just grinding man's legs down.
I'm not going fast. He's going to have to just walk along. He's going to have to walk along and be five miles. he has to just calm down. Calm down.
If he gets to that level, though, I think people are... If you get out of your car, you don't value your life.
If you get out of your car, then you have to be ready for whatever comes next. And I guess... my thinking is that you don't know where your anger can take you, especially road rage. Yeah. And that's how you, road rage doesn't make sense. It's just anger. This person has minorly inconvenienced you, but for you, it's this
when you're in court and you're like on a manslaughter charge, it's like, so what's your version of events? Well, basically, yeah, he didn't indicate.
you
just cut in, and I'm like,
you look at the jury, and they're like,
That is fair, actually.
We've all been. You better hope they're not all cyclists or some shit, innit? Like, if it's a jury full of cyclists, yeah, you're going to jail. You're going to jail. But if it's all motorists, then yeah, maybe you'll be able to.
No, I'm happy. I'm sorry. I haven't had any like road rage or any like aggression to me while I've had kids in the car or anything like that.
But that's also a different level.
Because that's a weird. That's like an animalistic thing, isn't it? Where it's like, I want to stay calm. I'm not gonna do something dumb because my kids are in the car.
Yeah.
But if someone's actually gonna do something dumb to you, then your brain goes, fucking kids are in the car, man.
Yeah.
See, then you're like,
you're now
gonna do something dumber. And it's like,
no, 100%. Yeah, your emotions go all over the place. So you go, as you say, go into protection sort of cocoon mode.
Did your driving change when you became parents?
Yes.
Like, did you slow down and start?
Yeah, I
drastically saw a difference in how I did.
I did. Yeah. I don't know, I've got this really weird thing of like, you need to take something to the end.
Yeah.
My brain does, like, any event does morbidly take it to the end. So I'm thinking, I need to slow down because if I flip my car over and my daughter has to grow up with no dad and my wife has to explain to her, yeah, your dad was a cool guy. How did he die? Well, he was driving too fast one day and just wrapped the car around the lamppost. Just like, yeah, that's a dickhead move. My daughter's childless. I was in the rush. I was racing my sat nav because my sat nav said I was going to get there at 21:47. I was like, I can get there at 21:45. I can beat that. 21:45. Let's go.
Challenge accepted.
Let's go.
It's true. It is true though. You do like, I do think more of what, not just me, even if like I'm thinking about the consequences for myself, but also ramifications for my son or for my family or and your stupid sort of action. Like even driving here to record this, so I come out and then there was a guy, it's not even well lit because it's getting dark now, it's a green light for me, he's walking across the road, and normally what people do, they know they're taking the piss because they shouldn't be walking, they do that little jog where they're not even moving quickly but their arms are moving, their legs are moving normal pace.
You're not running.
This guy walking even slowly, so he comes off on me the left lane. I beep him, then he taps the car. I'm thinking, what? And then I'm like, okay, in this split second, I'm like, as you say, what do I get out and confront him, or do I gesture to him, knowing that if I do that, he could be a mad guy. So I have to now deal with a mad guy, or do I just drive to the podcast? I don't know if I did the latter, but it's just
I came out of my house to do the podcast. I didn't go to my house to fight a mad guy on the way to...
To fight a mad guy that, one, was walking slow on a road where it's green light for the motorist, and two, willing to tap a car. So I was like, part of me, am I a dickhead? Then, and that's the... I had to tell that voice to shut up, that South London voice, shut up. Because that voice gets you into trouble.
Yeah.
Am I a dickhead? Oh, what? The toxic masculinity, whatever it is, ego. Yeah. Am I a dickhead? What? Why touching my car? My dad paid big money for it. It was like, no, just go do your podcast. Because there's nothing to come of this. It's just ego talking. And it just, and it's just more, as we're saying about like having children and the ramifications. Sometimes you got to let a little, call it disrespect or whatever, slide, because in the bigger picture.
Yeah, exactly.
It means nothing. It really means, there's no damage to the car. It means nothing. You know what I mean? So sometimes you got to,
assess the situation.
Yeah, because you can't live in the moment when you got responsibilities.
No,
yeah, no, exactly. Like I said, I'm fortunate that I'm being able to be level-headed enough and not have any incident directly involved with the kids. So it's like it's been easier to just be rational and just be like, yeah, just let's leave it and stuff. I'd hate to be in that vulnerable position where it's just like, do I actually have to do something mad because they're doing something mad?
Yeah. You have to meet them at their madness. Yeah.
But the escalation points, before you get to that stage are like the ones you were just talking about. I don't think it would ever get to that point because
I've got it in my mind.
Yeah, so even if someone smashes into your car, you're not going to get out and be on it, on swinging. You're going to be like...
Because I'm usually aware when I'm in the wrong as well when driving. So the other day, lots of traffic in the lane here, and I thought, right, the right-hand turn is so bad with like yards and stuff. So let's just say 50 yards.
I'm
not at the turn.
Yeah,
I have
it's
to
just
drive
a bit further
on the
ahead.
Wrong side of the road to get to the turn.
Okay.
No cars are coming up, so I'm like, I'm going.
On the wrong side of the road?
Yeah. Like, it's not long. It's like...
But you went on the...
But I went on the wrong side of the road. And as I've done that, I completely forgot the possibility of someone actually coming out of that turn and turning left. So he's turned that turn left. I'm on the wrong side of the road. He's beeping. He's proper swearing at me. And I've just like gone, like, mate, I know. I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I've done that, he's kind of like just started laughing. He's just like... Because I thought... Mate, I'm in no position to beef you here. I am so in the wrong.
I just need you to know.
I'm dumb. I'm dumb, dude. It's why. And I just wait. Look, it's gonna move. It's already moved. I'm just waiting.
They're now not letting me back in.
Yeah, this is all me. This is all me, man. And your car just went. He's almost like just move your car. I was like, just move it. You go. You can get past. It's just helpful diffusion. But I imagine. There was someone out there that because the man called him a dick.
Oh, yeah. He's fighting back.
In this position, they're like, no.
Yeah,
I'll call myself a dick. You can't call me a dick. Yeah, and who are you driving? XYZ car.
Going on the other side of the road, I learned the hard way to never do that again. I was going round the bus in a safe maneuver. I saw there was nothing coming. Indicated to go around. As I was like going around, the bus started moving off. I'm trying to get back in.
In time.
The National Express coach coming. I was trying to get back across. National Express coach wiped out the whole side of my car. Got out, took pictures, whatever. Did the whole insurance thing. I explained it to the insurance. They were like, from the pictures, your wheels are on that side of the road.
Yeah.
Whatever happens,
doesn't matter.
If your wheels are on the wrong side of the road,
you're in the wrong.
You're in the wrong.
Yeah.
From that day, I've never gone around a bus again. I don't go around. I will sit there and wait.
Right. So what happened in terms of excess and all that type of
everything.
Stuff?
Everything
wiped out. This.
Everything, man. Yeah.
Well, so did it? So did they cover it, or did insurance say you're not insured because you did a madness?
No, they cover it. You're just in the wrong. Your premium then goes mad
because you lose your claims.
Yeah.
Oh,
you got to declare it and just, because that's like with my insurance, I had to. So, what happened to me is I literally parked outside my old flat.
Yeah.
Woke up in the morning, just a normal day, I'm going to go to my flat. You know, when you just look at your cars, I'm like, hey, what's what? My brain can't register what's happening.
Yeah, it's changed.
It's different.
And I was like, right, no, someone has fully just smashed into the side of my car. Now I have to explain this, and it's so annoying because depending on what website I use to do my insurance.
Yeah.
Depends on what questions they ask and how, and the drop down answers. Like, so whose fault was it? And then it's like, your fault, other driver's fault. Obviously, it's like, well, other driver's fault. But then some of it's like, you don't have that option. And it's like, where were you when the accident happened? And it's like, well, I wasn't even in the vehicle.
Absolutely.
I was in my house. Like, but other websites, it's like, it's the other driver's fault, but, I wasn't in control. It's that I wasn't in control of the vehicle. So I don't like the sound of that.
That's like the sound of some sort.
Yeah, insurance. It's not on our side.
Yeah.
They want to avoid pain
at all costs.
Yeah, so they'll do
at all costs. They will never pay out unless you legally need insurance. I don't have it.
Yeah,
for anything.
No, it's true. Yeah, like phone insurance. Don't have that.
No. Nope. You need
well, you are the insurance, innit? If you don't have phone insurance, you are the insurance, innit? If you lose it, you just get a new one, innit?
Phone insurance is hard because it's hard to claim on anyway as well.
Yeah.
It's proper hard to claim. So that was a nightmare and stuff. But what can you do if someone drives into your car?
What was the outcome of that?
What it was like, another dumb thing about it was it's a leased car. Leased it for 3 years, and this was in the last 2 months of the
3 years. Headache.
So it's about. Let me just find out how much it costs. I might just get it done myself.
Yeah.
Like I said, it wasn't even a big crash. They managed to hit four different panels on the car.
Oh, so you need to replace all four of them.
Bit, the rear door, the side bit there, and just like a, just another random, I don't know why there's a panel there. It's like a different
hit
that, so there's like, yeah, so that's going to cost like something like over $2,000.
Woo!
So I was like, I'm claiming on this.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I'm not paying $2,000. Like, no.
The other thing, when you have a leased vehicle, I had it before, and I had a bump, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to go for the insurance stuff. I'll do it myself. So I got a quote from the garage, the dealer, and then got a quote private. I was like, let me do the quote private. It was like half the price.
Yeah.
Cool. Then they came around to when they're giving it back, they come and do the assessment where they check it back and look it all over and stuff. To me, it looked like a perfect job. Yes, the guy came, mate. He went, yeah, those paint strokes are going in the wrong direction. I was like,
whoa.
Bro, if you lease like a BMW, every part of that car better be BMW.
Yeah. So then basically, I paid about like £800 to get it done private. And then they were like, have you got the... So then I was like, oh yeah, and I did get the bumper and the rear wing redone. Okay, cool. Have you got the receipts for it? Showed them the receipts. I was like, oh, you didn't get it done through the dealer,
you didn't get it through us.
No, so then they hit you for that. So again, if you have a leased car, the systems are, no system is in our favor.
Of course.
So just
especially, and that's a hot topic now. Cars, obviously, the whole ULEZ thing, obviously them extending it and stuff like that. And they there's only certain cars you can get with that, and obviously you usually want a big money up front, and then
they know what they're doing.
It's a money-making scheme. Darren, you said something about you went to the park of your children. Obviously, we've been talking about parks. I know we've got to round up, but you got any...
So, yeah, let's do this one.
It's up to you. We can delay it to the next one. It's what's in your heart. It's a long one.
It's not a long one, but... Actually, we'll just do it now. So, parenting fail.
Oh.
I was in the park with my two kids. I think it was actually day that moment. Carnival.
Okay. So your first day back after Edinburgh with the kids.
Like, you don't have to go out. I see you're tired and stuff. And I was like, and she's always a mum, isn't it? She thinks about herself last. So she's like, I feel like the kids should go out, get some fresh air.
Mm.
But she knows I'm not like that. She's just like, you're tired. I know you can't be bothered. And in my head, the mad thing was, my show was at 4:45.
Yeah.
I was knackered all day. Mm. Got to 4 o'clock, I suddenly perked up.
Oh, okay.
It was like, it was in my head of going, oh, I've got to go and perform.
I've
got this surge of energy now. I was like, dude, let me just take them to the park. And so I feel like they've been indoors all day. It's not fun. So so obviously, listeners don't know, daughter's two, son's like just turned 6 months, so little. So mainly for my daughter. So we go to the park, done all right on the swings. That's right. He sat in the buggy. She's on the swings. He's just looking. He's happy to be outside. She's happy to be in the swing. Does someone go on the slide? Want to go on the slide? Again, he's on the buggy next to the slide. She's going down the slide. I'm picking her up, going to the top. They're now all good. And then as I'm doing it, like one guy sees me and he's just like, oh, you got your hands full. I was like, yeah. Just like little laugh, short conversation. Note to the listeners, always good to make short conversation with a random adult in the park. Because what then happened is my daughter's just on the hill bit and I'm there with my son. And she gave me this look in her face. I was like, I know what you're going to do. And she just kind of looked and she went, I'm going to run. I'm going to run away from you. I'm going to run away. And she just started moving slowly away and she's running down the park. And obviously, this park is a big park. There's swings.
Are there other kids? Other kids.
It's active. There's adults, kids. There's a splash park.
Oh, snap.
There's swings. So I'm just like, man. And I saw the one guy I spoke to earlier went, bro, could you just like, watch him. I'm not going there. And he's like, yeah, no problem, man.
Did this guy have kids that he had?
You made a choice without realizing it.
I saw him with a kid. Okay. I ran. And then I got my daughter. And as I got my daughter, I thought, I'm mad far from this buggy. And I thought, if I turn around and that buggy isn't there.
And you just see him rolling with the buggy.
Or if I don't even see him rolling. It's one of those ones. A proper like bored identity thing, which is where people walk. Whereas I was like, I have fucked up massively. Yeah. fortunately, he was in eyesight. I could see him, and he wasn't even touching the buggy. He just stood there, so just watching his kid watching the buggy.
Oh, okay. Oh, you actually paid attention, because some people would be like, I'll watch.
He just saw my daughter running off. He's like, yeah, go get her and stuff. But in my head, I was thinking, like, I don't know that guy, but I was so desperate. I was like, I've got to pick you. You've got to.
You've got to be the guy. You've got to be the.
In my head, if I didn't know, if I didn't speak to him earlier, I don't know what I would have done.
Because you would have no one to base it off. You know, it's not the same. Obviously, complete your daughter is much more precious than a fucking MacBook. But that's what loads of people do in coffee shops.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, oh, could you watch my MacBook while I go to the toilet? I'm like, you don't know.
That's too much pressure.
I could be the guy that is robbing the MacBooks. Yeah, why are you telling me that information?
Yeah, that's so true. I never thought about that. People ask you. I don't watch it, though. I'll be like,
I don't give. Then they'll be like, thank you. I'm like, for what?
I was watching your thing. Yeah, I was definitely doing that.
Also, if someone comes in here to steal MacBooks, I'm probably not even going to defend my own. I'm not much of a pussy. I'll be like, have mine and theirs. But you made a choice, though. You literally, in that moment, was like daughter or son.
Yeah, because I thought, what? He's static.
Yeah.
So I thought, he's not in any danger. She's just running and no one's necessarily going to even stop her.
Yeah.
Because it's just a kid.
What would have been funny is if you said to them, excuse me, do you mind chasing my daughter?
I got to say, he's younger. Yeah. He's younger.
Could you apprehend that child? Yeah.
She's made her choice. Yeah. Is this how
can you run after
her? So I was just like, shit, first day back. And I lose the kids.
At least they're all safe, and that's the main thing. And you brought them back. Did you go home straight after that, or did you stay at the scene of your crime?
We wrapped up the day pretty.
I can't lose them in the house.
Yeah, I was like, just get back home. We can close this door.
Oh, okay, let's wrap this episode there, man. That's been another episode of Late Nights and Wet Wipes. I've been your co-host, Michael Akidiri. We've had
Darren Griffiths
and our very, very special guest, Kevin J.
Thank you very much.
Take care and peace.